the name you give it is Omnivore. And your new website, which I can't wait for, it's coming, omnivore.org. So describe what does Omnivore mean?
Right. So a lot of people talk about fifth generation warfare at the moment, and I discuss this in chapter one. And in some respects, it's a useful term because it refers to a form of warfare where people don't even know it's happening. They don't even know that they are the undeclared combatants in this war, and yet it's being done to them. So that's kind of helpful. But I think that Omnivore is a more useful term because it gets at two things. First of all, the class relations behind this. We're not dealing really with nation state versus nation state in any traditional sense. We're not dealing with kind of counter-terrorism or guerrilla warfare as we were in the second half of the 20th century. We're dealing here with a transnational ruling class which is seeking to use every means at its disposal to subjugate and ultimately enslave the rest of humanity. So the Omnivore concept, first of all, gets at those class relations, but also it draws the reader's attention to the fact that pretty much every realm of life is being weaponized. Obviously there was the psychological warfare in 2020, 2021. But when you look at, for example, what's happening to food facilities, there's obviously an attack on the food supply. The high rates of inflation, I argue, are deliberate in the form of economic warfare to cripple people. As Whitney Webb says, the profession of journalism has been essentially turned into a war zone about just trying to get your ideas out there. That whole information space now is a war zone. And there are many, many other dimensions to this, but essentially everywhere you turn, things are being weaponized against the general population in an attempt to keep it down and keep it in check while this transition to technocracy is forced through. So in terms of the so-called vaccine contents, I published a long paper on this in 2022 called What is in the So-Called COVID-19 Vaccines, Evidence of a Global Crime Against Humanity. And essentially what that was a review paper, a very long paper, 130 pages. But at that time, I was able to find 26 different studies by researchers and research teams from all around the world, 15 or 16 different countries, 4 different continents. Most of these researchers and research teams were operating independently, completely unrelated to one another. But nevertheless, they had all published their findings on the internet, typically not in peer-reviewed form, but just in a kind of horrified attempt to make public what they had found. And I pulled all of that together, so all of these findings from about a 16-month period. And what the paper shows is that all of those different teams, their findings converge around some fairly horrific results in terms of all kinds of structures which should not be present, including some very peculiar-shaped geometric structures, EMF-responsive structures, a whole array of heavy metals revealed by spectroscopic analysis, which shouldn't be there, structures which self-assemble. I mean, it's really terrifying to think because none of that was in the disclosed ingredients of the so-called vaccine. Right. So what we're looking at here is a global rollout of a product without informed consent. And it's no accident, therefore, that I think in the United States it's a criminal offence, isn't it, to examine the contents of these vials. You know, they really don't want people to know about it.
Right.
But when you look into it, and if you're willing to do primary empirical research, which good scientists are supposed to be, and not enough of this has been done, certainly not by universities who don't want to challenge the prevailing power structures. But if you are a serious scientist with a true love of knowledge, you should be looking at this. And when you do, you find things which are of enormous cause for concern.